Pleasure. Brother Aaron is going to come preach for us. I'll have him make his way on up here. And, you know, I told Kara, I've known Aaron for a while, not as long as I've known some of these young guys who are preaching now. But, man, you can really see the Lord working in his life, and I'm excited about it. It's exciting to see the Lord call preachers out of our church. And I'm glad to be there. I tell you, and I've told a lot of people, I don't know that I've ever heard, and no pressure for tonight, but I don't know that I've ever heard a better first sermon. I confirmed it was his first, last time, hit the nail right on the head. Pray for him as he comes to preach and just listen up, all right? The Lord's got something to say to you tonight. Thank you, Aaron.
Well, you're going to have to bear with me tonight because he told me before I got up here that the cordless mic wasn't working, so I had to stay behind the pulpit the whole time. And I'm not one to stand still. But if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 21. I want to say what a privilege it is to be able to preach in place of my dad tonight. I learned to never take it for granted that I get to go to church with my dad and my parents. Didn't always like it. Didn't always think I was going to be cool or be accepted because I didn't get to go play ball on Wednesday nights like all the rest of the kids did. Didn't like it then, but I sure am glad now. I seen not long ago a kid I grew up with, one of the all-star players on baseball team, played teams with me. He didn't have a daddy pulling into the church, and he's addicted to drugs, up walking the streets where we grew up. No purpose, no plan with his life. I sure am glad I had a daddy that pointed me to a greater plan. 1 Kings chapter number 21 says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee for it the worth of it in money." Verse number 3, notice what Naboth said. "And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And we'll stop right there. So in this passage, we find a man by the name King Ahab. We also find a man by the name Naboth that owned a vineyard. And Naboth here owned and possessed a place that had vines and had vineyards. And if you read your Bible, you'll find out that these vines had been passed down from generation unto generation unto generation. And they were well fertilized. They were well cropped. And they were very well put together. And they were very likely to be looked at. And everybody around knew what Naboth had. Well, the Bible says that upon a day came and this King Ahab comes strolling by. And that his eye caught a glimmer and caught a glimpse of what belonged to this man named Naboth. And as his eye caught the vineyards and saw the great vineyards that Naboth had, the Bible says that King Ahab comes up and begins to speak to Naboth and says, "Naboth, I like what you have." He says, "I see what you have. I like what's going on." And in so many words, King Ahab said, "I want what you have." He said, "I like the vineyards. They look well. They've been well taken care of. And whether I have to trade you, whether I have to give you a better one, or whether I have to buy you out, I want to possess what you have." And I'm not going to stay here long tonight, but I just want to tell what the application here is. King Ahab is a type and a picture of Satan in our Bible. And Naboth is a type and a picture of the child of God that is living in life today. Naboth being one that was passed down some things and possessed some things that did not necessarily belong to him. And King Ahab is a type of the devil that wants to rob and steal or buy out what God has given the child of God. In this room, there are teenagers that God has given great abilities, great talent, and great things, great property that God has given you. I can think of the word heritage. I think of the word Christianity. or just blessings in our life, things that the Holy Ghost of God has instilled in us and has given us and has honored us to give us in this life. Like he's talked about this morning, about joy. What a joy it is to be in a local independent Baptist church where the power of God is and the people of God is. That is a blessing. That is a vineyard. That is what God has given us. This nation that we know as of America, what a beautiful place to live in the year of 2018. I know she's got her glimmers. I know she's got her faults nowadays, but I still want to stand flat-footed and say I'm glad that I live in America, the greatest land in the world. It's a place that was founded for God, by God, with God. It's a place that's been blessed because of God, and I'm glad today that we're still around because of God in our lives. But you better listen to me. As much blessing as we have, just as much as King Ahab come by and saw what Naboth had, the devil is the same exact way. And tonight, the devil has his sight on everybody in this room. He knows what you have. He knows what you possess. He knows the marriage that you love. He knows the teenagers that you have prayed over, and it would do nothing more to the devil to make him happy but to steal it all away and this church to be empty and void and nobody here this time next year. We're living in a day that's wicked. I don't have to tell you that. We're living in a day where everything's upside down. We're living in a day where the devil is doing his best to wreck the lives of teenagers, to wreck the lives of married people, to confuse the lives of people. The Bible says this in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. It says, "Woe to them that put light for darkness and darkness for light. They call right wrong and they call wrong right." Let me say this. We are living in an upside down situation when prayer in school is wrong, but homosexuality is right. When handing out Bibles is wrong, but middle schools handing out condoms is right. When the name of Jesus is wrong, but the name Budweiser is common. When taking a student to a preacher is wrong, but taking them to an abortion clinic is considered right. When the Ten Commandments are wrong and not allowed on the walls, but filthy communication and common cussing is accepted nowadays in the school, I'm telling you, we are living in an upside down situation, and the devil is after your home, the devil's after your kids, the devil's after your wife, the devil's after your husband, and it's high time somebody stood up flat footed and said, "What I got is not for sale." Listen to me, teenagers. Some things ain't up for a vote. Some things ain't for popular opinion. You need to decide now and get some old-time Holy Ghost convictions and say, "What I believe is not for sale." I believe in my King James Bible. I believe it's inspired. I believe it's holy. And I believe every single word that's in it is there on purpose. And here inside your Bible, I find two reasons that King Ahab wanted this vineyard that we can apply specifically. Number one, listen to this. He said, "I want to make it into a garden of herbs." A garden of herbs. I heard one preacher say this about that. He said, "When's the last time you walked into your house after a hard day of work and told your wife, said, 'Honey, go make me a pepper sandwich'?" That's what an herb is. It's pepper. It's seasoning. Look at this. It's just a taste of the real thing. That's all it is. And I find it very interesting to find that the first motive that this type of Satan had for the vineyards that belonged to this man is he wanted to turn it into something that tasted like the real thing. And here's what I have to say about that. What about our King James Bible? What's his main attack? Well, let's rip a little bit out of this. Let's take the blood out. Let's take the significance out. Let's rip some verses and change around. But at the end, at the very end, let's sprinkle a little bit of the real deal on it, and we'll call it a Bible. I'm telling you, that's hogwash. I believe in my King James Bible. My Bible's not for sale. I don't care if you like it or lump it, honey. I'm telling you, the Word of God is not for sale in these days. Well, how about this? Well, let's make the music sound like AC/DC. Ooh, let's let them see us on TV and nobody be able to tell if we're Christians or if we're worldly. Let's just look the part, act the part, sound the part, look like the world, sound like the world, live like the world, and sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on it and call it God. Look, I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just trying to tell you that the devil's trick is just to give you a taste of the real thing. And I'm telling you, he's pulling teenager after teenager after teenager out of a real church and putting them in an entertainment business where they're trying to entertain and saying, come as you are, but leave as you came. I'm telling you, the real deal, Holy Ghost worship, is not for sale. I know I'm young. And in my age, I find people, preachers, trying to pull me in every direction. Well, come over here. Help us over here. You can do this for us, and you could have this going on you, and you wouldn't have this going on you, and you could do whatever you wanted to. All the time. I get it all the time. Well, with this talent, you'll fit in this crowd real good. But then I think, man, this is where the glory's at. This is, you don't see many grandmas in that crowd walking the aisles, spinning their hankies to the back. You don't see that because there's no real glory in it. Two reasons that he wanted. Number one, he wanted to turn into a garden of herbs. Number two, he said, because it's near unto my house. You know what I see there? Convenience. Am I the only person that's ever been laying in the bed? I know I'm going on a rabbit trail here, but we're going to shout here in a minute. Am I the only person that's ever been, y'all have been laying in the bed and the Holy Ghost talked to you? Why don't you get up and get to your Bible? Get up and go read your Bible. And I say, Lord Jesus, I ain't been sleeping but 8 hours. I need at least 9. come on. Am I the only person that God's ever, come talk to me. Come get up with me. Come sup with me. And the devil say, no, just stay in bed. Just stay. You don't got to do all that. You don't got to suffer for God. Just stay in bed. You don't got to get up. And then when you do get up, you ain't got no time to read your Bible. I'm telling you, the devil's next trick is to get a slide into that place of convenience and into that place where we'll do no serving for God. Well, here we go. You ain't got to go to church 3 times a week. Just come on Sunday morning. You ain't got to go Sunday night or Wednesday night. I'm telling you, can you not see the tricks of the devil trying to talk God's people that are born again to just slipping into cruise control and not suffer for the cause of Christ? Somebody has got to stand up in this weak-kneed generation and say, I don't care what the whole world does. I'm going to stand up. And what God's given me is not for sale. It's not for sale. I heard of a man one time that moved to Chicago and got a good wife and everything was going well. He worked in a big church up there. Some of you would know. And I remember he said his routine was to go to work every day. And he'd get home from work, he'd stop by the front door and he'd pray at the front door. Say, God, please protect my home, protect my family. Then he'd make his way over to his son's bedroom, pray for his son, ask God that you'd watch over my son. Then he'd make his way over to his bedroom. He'd pray over here. He'd go all around the house. And he said one day, he came home from work, and he started to go over there. And he just walked on in the front door. He said it wasn't very long. Eventually, he quit his Sunday school. Eventually this. Then he said he quit going to church for 3 years till the point now his wife and son left. And he has nothing that God gave him. And he's saying all this. But he says it did not start. It did not start with my wife just walking out the door. He said it started back there when I quit walking around that house. When I slid into that place of comfort and convenience, it was there when the devil slipped in and began to steal everything I had. Can I encourage you tonight? Keep on keeping on. Give it everything you got. Hey, choir, sing as loud as you can. Hey, church, shout as much as you can. Give God everything you can. He gave everything to you, and he's worthy to be served. He's worthy to be loved. I'm telling you, keep on keeping on for the glory of God. to reasons that he wanted. He said, there's two rewards. He said, I'll give you a better vineyard than it. I'll give you a better. My question to him is this. If there was a better vineyard, why didn't he want to go get the better vineyard? I'll give you a better. How many marriages have been ruined because of that little proposition of the devil? I try to live by something called the 80-20 rule. Anyone know what that is? Listen to this. 80-20. That means most people in life are happy with 80% of their life. Most people be happy. But there's always in our flesh that little 20% that we're never satisfied with. Yeah. There's always that little nugget in our flesh that pushes us and pries us to go chase after that little 20%. And here's how smart the devil is. He's been doing it since the book of Genesis. To get us to leave the 80 and chase after the 20. How many marriages have been ruined because the devil slides inside of the selfish heart of a man and says, I know you love your kids, I know you love your wife, but down the road, there's that 20% that you don't have. Won't you go after that 20%? And many a man or many a woman have left the home and left their children to go chase after that little 20% and to find themselves only to be left with only 20% and lose the 80% of their life. Somebody's got to decide, my home's not for sale. Listen, this is what was needed. Our homes are falling apart, our churches are falling apart, and preachers are getting up tickling the ears of people when the truth is we need to get down on the level. And the devil's got in a war on our churches, a war on our homes, and it's high time somebody stood up and said, what I believe is not for sale. He said, I'll give you a better vineyard. Then he said this. He said, well, if it seem well to thee, I'll give you the worth of it in money. You know what I see there? I see a payoff. Payoff. I see a compromise. Well, if you'll quit doing that, you can have this. Think about it. Peer pressure, popularity. There's so many things that pulls at teenagers, pulls at preachers, and it's always that shift. It's always that pull and that pry of the devil trying to get us to trade things out. I remember I had a buddy that had a grandpa that was a trader. And he didn't have no money. He lived in a little trailer, West Virginia. And I remember many times he'd come over to his house and he'd get that ad bulletin out. And he didn't have no money, but he'd call everybody in that ad. And, you know, they'd say like a truck for this much money. And he didn't have no money, but he'd call everybody in that thing. So you want to trade something? Yeah, that's just the way Grandpa did it. And that's what the devil, he'll try to, I'll trade you this for that. Well, am I the only person the devil's ever spoke to you, try to get you to trade some things out? Oh, yeah, just slide it back, just put it in neutral. You don't got to do all that stuff. I'm telling you, can you not see the tricks of the devil to get you to trade out the real deal for the fake? I'm just going to keep on keeping on. The devil knows what your buttons are. Many stories going through my mind. I can think when I was a kid, preachers that I looked up to. You know, going to different camps, different meetings, different revivals. And I remember sitting as a kid on the front row looking at men of God. I remember big-eyed people. I'd sit there and watch preach. I thought could preach better than anybody I ever heard. Maybe I put stock in them. I put promise in them. And I wanted to be just like them. I can't tell you how many of them today ain't even in it. Just a little tiny desire. They chased it and now they're out doing their thing. And see, they thought they was just affecting themselves. But little boys like me sat there and thought, how can you leave the anointing of God. How can you leave what you said and you told me that God was enough for everything and then you leave? Can I tell you, there's more to this than just you. I'm going to ask Caitlin to come stand up here. I told her I was going to do this and she told me not to. But just as an illustration. See, I don't have my whole... When you see me preach, standing up here, I don't have my whole family with me here tonight. But when you see me preach, people just see me. Or whoever's preaching. But the truth is, every time I get up to preach, behind me, there's a wife praying for me. There's a... if she's not with me, you may not see her, but she is invested in my life. And when I go to church, there's a wife with me, little daughter on the way. When I stand to preach, people just see me, but they don't see that godly mama that when I was a little boy, I remember praying for me, asking God to keep me and the devil not to destroy me. When I stand to preach, people just see me, but in spiritual sense, behind me, there's a godly daddy that prayed with me, taught me the gospel, let me see true religion and true Christianity, a true passion for Christ. You know what gets me worse than anything? I'll be maybe alone somewhere, and the devil getting there. Aaron, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? You ain't got to do all that stuff. Why don't you just sell out, get your normal life? And you know, I almost could if there wouldn't be a time that I'd have to look them in the eye and tell them everything they invested in me, I just sold out for a little morsel. Who would be the first person that you'd have to tell that you're getting out of this thing? Some of y'all would have to go to a graveyard of a godly daddy that prayed for you, bought for you. Some of you would have to go to a graveyard where your mama lays and have to tell them that you give up on God. You know what I've decided? When things get hard, I just look at the blessings of God. That little thing is the joy of my life, and she's not even here yet. I've got great dreams and great aspirations, and I can't imagine this girl growing up and me having to look her in the eye and say, honey, your daddy's washed up. Your daddy's done. All them prayers that we prayed for you, everything that I wanted you to have, all them songs that your mama sung to you, they didn't mean nothing, honey. How many preacher's kids are living in a whirlwind today because of a daddy that didn't live what he was preaching? I'm trying to tell you, if for no other reason, why don't you look in them eyes of your kids? Why don't you take a good look at the people in this church that you love dearly? And when the devil comes your way, not for sale. Not for sale. How foolish would it be? You've heard the story of all my family's been through from here to there. How foolish would it be for everything that God's done in my family's life for me to just wash up and sell it all out for a little bit of nothing? You can go into now. I'm going to do something real quick. If you're 24 or under, just stand up. 24 or under, just stand up. You can go ahead and come, Jim. I'm done. I want you to take a look at this. You say, why are we going to such lengths to keep the heritage that we have? There's a whole new generation be coming behind. This is tomorrow right here. Hey, mama, here's your reason to stick with God. Hey, Daddy, here's a good reason to stay with the stuff. Hey, preacher, here's a good reason to keep preaching the book. Y'all are going to have to decide. You're not for sale. Jesus has got to get real precious to you and say, it don't matter what you offer me, I'm not for sale. How many times you ever felt the power of God on you? Tears rolling down your eyes, the presence of God. You're just going to sell it out for some silly little boy, some silly little girl. Everybody can stand to their feet. I wonder how many mamas, how many daddies can come gather around an altar and say, by the help of God, what God has given me, what God's entrusted me with, what God has possessed me with, is not for sale. It's not for sale. Hey, preacher, the devil's coming after you. You better decide. It's not for sale.
Hymn 322.